From Akron, Ohio, this is episode 113 of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about Pee-wee's Big Holiday, the new Netflix original film, and we're going to talk about our top five things that we want to see rebooted in honor of Pee-wee coming back to the big screen, or I guess the regular size screen at your house.
Depending on how big your screen is.
Exactly. But first, if this is your first time listening to the show, we are on a different recording system than we're used to, so next week we'll be up and running as usual. In the meantime, hang in there. B, head over to iTunes, subscribe, and rate and write a little review for us, and we'll read it on the air, and we'll smile in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Won't we?
Yeah.
We will.
I told you I would.
Yeah. Jeez. Cut off our backs. But first, as always, I am your host, Nick, and today I'm joined by...
Demo.
And Kyle.
Demo.
Yeah.
Discussing Pee-wee's Big Holiday was your idea. So my question for you is, did you like Pee-wee's Big Holiday?
I loved it.
Then why don't you marry it? Did you guys watch...
Playhouse?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
I did as well.
I liked it quite a bit at the time. I haven't revisited, but I will say the thing that I do revisit every Christmas time is Pee-wee's Christmas special.
See, that's one I haven't revisited. Actually, I haven't revisited the Playhouse either, even though it is also on Netflix. But I have rewatched Pee-wee's Big Adventure semi-recently, within the last year or so. Mm. It holds up.
Yeah,
Tim Burton's first film.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny when you see those little glimpses of what's to come, mm-hmm. like with the claymation of Large Marge and the dream sequences. Like, you see, like, little hints of Beetlejuice and little, you know.
Yeah. Oh, the Large Marge scene is very Beetlejuice-esque to me. How do you feel about Pee-wee's Big Holiday? Is it Pee-wee as we've always known and loved him, or is it something different?
There's something different about it. I mean, it's still... I'm going to say at the heart, it's still Pee-wee.
I totally agree.
It's a little toned down as far as Pee-wee goes. Because, like, the way you're talking about animation and stuff, like, there's very little of that in this, I'd say. But
that's true.
That intro with Yule makes me so uncomfortable, though.
It was the most uncomfortable
scene.
Because I'm like, ever. Are they going to kiss? Like, what the?
Ugh, it's too much. And then when the lights come on her, I mean I love the fact that they used, I'm assuming, like, practical effects, yeah. But it practical effects in that situation, just, it is so creepy and so weird.
I love that beginning because it was so weird. It was just so bizarre that I was immediately drawn in.
It made me so uncomfortable. I was
more uncomfortable during the at the end. There might be some spoilers here, but when he kisses maybe Funke, I was like...
The other Pee-wee.
Yeah, the other Pee-wee. When he kissed that, I was like, oh, she's like his daughter's age. Like,
yeah, she's quite young. But the thing about... She's Paul Rubens' daughter's age, probably.
Yeah.
Or probably even younger than that. He's 63. And she's younger than us. She's probably Kyle's age tops, I would say. Something we could look up, but I'm not gonna. But she's pretty young. But she's not that much younger than Pee-wee the character. Because Pee-wee the character is, you know, a young man boy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love the fact that...
He is not aged
at all. Well, yeah, it's incredible. But the fact that...
Some of that is special effects.
He is Pee-wee by... Or he is Pee-wee being portrayed by Pee-wee.
Like, yeah.
Paul Reumann does not... His name does not... appear anywhere in this movie.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which is awesome. And that's kind of a tradition with Pee-wee Herman, I guess.
I didn't realize that. That's really cool.
Which, okay, before we really get into this, this is the first Pee-wee Herman thing I've ever watched.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So
you're your father's son.
So I know, and I can do a really good, but I can't. I don't know. Like, I don't know why I didn't watch it. But...
When I was a child, this is one of many examples of Jim fucking with us as kids. Jim is
our father.
Kyle and my pops, he had convinced me as a child that his job was, he did the voice of Pee-wee.
Oh my God. That is.
Were you guys actually convinced? How old were
you? I was.
I was probably like 15 or 16. No, I was like 4 probably. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, old enough that that's plausible.
Yeah, I mean,
he's told us a lot of lies.
Whatever. I was a dumb kid. It's no big deal. It's fine. Let's not dwell on it.
But yeah, so I can do that really well. But yeah, this is the first, at least all the way through, this is the first Pee Wee Herman thing I've seen. So
yeah, Pee Wee Herman is really one of those things, though, that if you look at the way comedy has been shaped now, a lot of it is very irreverent, kind of bizarre humor.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of things like
Tim and Eric
or Portlandia or Comedy Bang Bang.
T&PL
yeah.
even. Well,
shows like that, I mean, there's such a direct timeline from Pee Wee to them that I think it's all kids like us, or Thamo and I at least, who grew up watching Pee Wee, and then now we're adults, and that's kind of our sense of humor still. It's like just bizarre, like off the wall, weird stuff, like a talking chair. And
well, I mean, the funny thing to me is that Pee Wee himself is a subversion of itself is being irreverent. It itself is subverting children's programming.
Yeah.
And created children's programming in the process, which is strange.
Yeah.
But it's funny because it's, you know what else just to add to that list is Look Around You, or a lot of the stuff from Britain, like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, or where it's like there's heart there. There's like an homage going on, but at the same time it's subverting it, and that's where the humor comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a really good observation, I think.
And I think this movie does a great job of just picking up where we left off, I mean, however long ago.
Yeah.
The thing they didn't do, which I was hoping they would do, but I'm more glad that they didn't, was I was really hoping that they would throw stuff back to, like, Big Adventure or In the Circus or
when I was watching this, I was like, is Yule like a character, or are the Renegades a group that
that was all new? And I kind of like that they didn't do that, because everything is a goddamn reboot now. Like Fuller House is something that apparently people are interested in.
I finished that season today.
Oh, really? Jesus
the
Christ.
Whole season.
Jesus
13
Christ.
Episodes, because Lisa.
Are they 20 minute episodes?
Probably half an hour, but yeah.
I would need to be paid so much money to watch that.
I would watch it if I was. Here's what I was hoping was going to happen. I swear to God,
the world would explode.
No, I was hoping that they would change what the show was, so make it like CSI, or make it like make it like American Horror Story, or make it something where it's
happens
always
to
sunny.
Be the same characters, just in a different,
or it's always sunny. Like, like make it a different show.
Yeah,
but it happens to take place in that same house with those same people.
Yeah, it's
so. Kyle, what's better, Fuller House or Pee Wee's Big Holiday? Wait, did you not like Pee Wee's Big Holiday?
I wasn't a huge fan of it. Mostly because it has its funny moments, but it also has its really awful moments. Like the three robbers, I was not a huge fan of any time that they were on screen.
To be honest. I loved them a lot. I think they have the best joke in the film. Which
really?
Is after,
better than the "I really like this biscuit, I'm going to take it home with me."
After Pee Wee and Pee Wee kiss, Pepper, I believe, says, I'm crying, I need a tissue. And she goes, "No, really, give me a tissue." And then the other girl starts to reach into her bra.
I was just going to say, what's her face from Brooklyn Nine-Nine is so awful at this.
No, this is by far the best she's ever been. I think her character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine is the worst character, the worst written character on TV right now. I found her delightful.
Is she Peppers?
No, she's Freckles.
Freckles.
Even though she wasn't the one that had Freckles.
She didn't speak much at all.
Yeah, she didn't have much to do.
But anytime she was on screen, she was just so, like, giddy. And,
like, oh, I like that.
Maybe it's just because I know her from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and it's a complete, like, 180 from that. But
I can't stand her in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And it's not her. It's her, the writing of her. She's the same in every episode.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But this movie did have some really incredible moments. Like, I don't know why you didn't like Thamo. I don't know why you didn't like when he screamed. Like, the snake scene when he gets so scared by that snake, and I don't know, it's just so, like, because it's not a natural sound to come out of somebody, and the fact that it's, like, so drawn out, it's hilarious. And then, probably the greatest scene in any movie this year so far.
The balloon scene. The balloon scene's amazing.
It's incredible.
It goes on for so long.
Yeah, but like...
He carries it, though, because it's...
Well, it's less of the sound, and it's more of his reaction.
His reaction to...
Because, you know, I would love to see...
He's so happy doing it.
I would love to see if there even were, like, bloopers of that scene. Because, you know, there's probably multiple takes of him, like, doing weird things. But, yeah, his just reaction to the sound is in trying to... It's awesome.
And he goes on a journey. Because at times he's almost, like, using it almost like a gun. Like, yeah, like shooting the noise at people.
And well, then and he also, does Jingle Bells for a little bit.
Well, and also, when he starts, everyone's just doing their own thing in the background. And then by the time he's done, they've created this crowd around him. And it's doing one take. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe, is it just like a common thing with Pee Wee Herman where, like, this movie isn't really about anything? And, like, is that
that's what it is?
I mean, I wasn't expecting, like, this epic story, but...
It's a road trip movie.
Yeah, it's a road trip movie.
Just like Pee's Big Adventure is also just a road trip movie. Yeah. Really.
And I don't remember Circus whatsoever.
Neither do I.
But, like, I would have liked it if it had more of the over-the-top, like, talking furniture and claymation and, like, all this other weird things.
I was really hoping that John B. would show up at the bottom of the wall.
Yeah. And... It does have some over-the-top, like...
The plane scene.
All the special effects are so delightfully bad. In such a good way. Like, in such a fun way. Or when the Rube Goldberg machine that results in him getting a free brunch.
Yeah. It's just so funny. Takes one bite out of and then just puts it away.
That's very
I like that he's driving in this little thing and he hits a tiny log but goes flying through the air. It's so funny because it's so over the top. And that's what Pee-wee is.
Yeah.
And what about the root beer candy? Is that like
the root beer barrel?
Is that a Pee Wee Herman thing?
I'm pretty sure that's a Pee Wee Herman invention.
I mean, a new thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure. As far as I know,
I don't remember. I liked what
Joe Manganiello.
Yeah, like he was surprisingly awesome. And their sort of interaction at the beginning of the movie where they're like, second favorite candy, tie between two. Skittles and whatever.
No,
distant
second. Charleston Chew.
Number three, tie between two. Skittles and this. Yeah, that interaction is really awesome. And I love the fact that Joe
Manganiello
plays himself too. Yeah. I'm sure that's like a thing with Pee Wee Herman too. And having celebrities play themselves, maybe.
I don't know. What I really liked about this movie is that I think the way most people would do it is if Pee Wee Herman meets this guy who's big and tough and he's a famous actor, that guy is going to be kind of like condescending towards him. But in this movie, they have
instant chemistry.
It's almost a romance between the two.
It's definitely a bromance. Yeah.
But it's
they
so,
love each other.
It's so genuine that it's just charming to me. Like most other movies would do it so cynically, but this movie does it like with 100% sincerity, and I loved it for that.
Yeah,
kind of going by what we're talking about with the homage, but also like irreverence. Like, it's definitely it's a bromance movie, but there's still heart at the center of it, and still, even when they're doing things that are just completely silly, there's still heart at the center of the movie, which I think a lot of that type of humor can lack. Mm-hmm, which makes it much less interesting.
Yeah.
Because by having that heart, we're still invested in Pee-wee on his journey. We want him to get there and everything.
The whole theme of him at the beginning of the movie where he is like a home buddy in like Fairville, he's like the
sweetest boy in Fairville.
Yeah. Where like
he's never had pizza before. He's never seen a traffic light.
Is that a common theme with?
No.
Because that's actually like...
He was part of a circus at one point.
Like, yeah, and the fact that like he has never left that town is kind of an interesting thing. And a little sad. And I love the backstory of why he hasn't gone out. Like all played by like weird sound effects when he's retelling the story. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood, but I didn't hate it or anything. I didn't love it, maybe.
I mean, it's not going to... I find it unlikely that it'll make my top 10 of the year. But I don't understand how anyone could hate this movie, you know?
Yeah.
I can see people, you know, finding things to like about it, but it would be impossible. You'd have to be a real monster.
Don't say impossible.
No, you'd have to be a real monster to hate this movie.
Did you show it to Nelly yet?
No, I watched it while she was asleep, but she wouldn't hate it. She'd find enough to like it.
Do you think she would actually like it?
She wouldn't love it, but she wouldn't like it as much as me because they didn't have Pee Wee Herman in Cuba.
Yeah.
Cool. But I think she would.
Yeah.
She would enjoy enough about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
It's been one of my more favorite of the things that have been rebooted. I would say.
Yeah.
I would say
good
that
segue.
Too. Yeah, I would say that too.
So we're going to talk about, speaking of Fuller House, and Kyle, goddammit, if Fuller House makes your top five.
Everywhere we go, everywhere we can.
Why is that a thing that people are like,
I see the
I think it's like a hipster, ironically, they're saying that.
Like, I don't think so. I think it's the same country that's about to elect Donald Trump.
They're not going to, and if they do...
I mean, we said that a Full House reboot couldn't happen.
Which, why the hell is Bioshock on your list?
Because.
They just came out with the
Bioshock. Spoilers. All right, join us after the break. And we're going to talk about our top five things that need rebooted.
I thought this tape was going to be a conversation stimulator, man. I was going to ask you for your top five records to play on a Monday morning and all that. And you just had to ruin it. We'll do it next Monday.
No! I'm
gonna do it now! Welcome back to the show. We are talking about our top five things that need a rebooting. Kyle, what is your number five thing that needs to be rebooted?
I'm gonna start this list off with a bang.
This is the Big Bang Theory.
Toe Jam and Earl.
Oh, nice! Wow.
The biggest bang.
Excellent.
Toe Jam and Earl was a game that me and Nick grew up with. Thelma's reaction.
Racist.
It sounded like you. No, it's not racist.
I just remember
all.
The commercial. I never played it.
You never played it? Oh, okay.
It's just incredible. Such a blast from the past.
Yeah, side-scrolling game, and when they reboot it, because you know they will. And Nick's got to go to the bathroom, even though
I'm
talking about.
All right, fine. I'll stick.
No. I mean, what I'm gonna say probably doesn't mean anything to you, but they need to when they reboot it. It needs to be another side-scrolling game. Like I don't want an open-world like Grand Theft Auto clone or something. It needs to be. Like old school side scrolling, just with a
throwing
like,
the jars,
yeah, new,
catching the earthlings,
yeah. Funkatron is in peril, or whatever. It needs
Shaka Boom Clap
because there have been like really good games that come out recently that have been reboots of old school games where they just redo the graphics in this really beautiful like art style. And I think they can do that really easily with Toe Jam and Earl. So
I wouldn't even want better graphics, I just want more levels,
yeah. I mean, they're also doing that with like Double Fine games with Day of the Tentacle.
Are they doing that? It
came out a couple days ago.
Are you kidding me?
A couple days ago.
Is it the actual? Is it a new
Day of the Tentacle?
It's
the same game.
Okay. Well, I know what I'm doing after we're done here.
Yeah.
Who would you like to play as more often, Kyle? Toe Jam or Earl?
Toe Jam.
Me too.
Really? I thought you were more Earl.
No. Michael's always Earl.
Wait. Which one's which?
Toe Jam is the red one, Earl's the orange one.
Oh, Earl. All
right. That sounds about right.
Okay, so if there's a fat guy and a skinny guy, which one do you think would be Toe Jam?
Skinny guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Earl's a fat guy, isn't it? Like.
Oh, okay. Straight. Well, yeah. Earl.
My name is Earl.
Okay.
That
yeah.
doesn't pay
enough. Earl.
What's my
for
name
sure.
is Earl? Oh.
Jason Lee.
Which is funny, because I knew you wanted to play as the skinny red guy.
Yeah,
but yeah, Fat Earl. Thema, what would be your number five?
My number five. This will, yeah. Go ahead. It is Clive Barker's Jericho. Nick, what's yours?
Jericho. Is that a game?
It's a video game. It's a video
brutal
game.
Brutal first person shooter.
Yeah. It was an FPS where you. Yeah, exactly. It was very goth. It was like you fell into one of the Hellraiser movies, essentially. Where there's this time rip and you go inside and you fight your way back through time all the way to like ancient Babylonia. It was awesome. Actually, it would have been good for the Sandman sequences because each era had its own like thing, you know.
Nice.
What I will say is that the cool mechanic about it was that it was like six members of a party. So instead of switching weapons or anything, you would switch between these different members of their party and what they were good at. And it wasn't like a puzzler so much, except that you got to play around with crowd control versus taking out big bosses versus whatever the baddies were based on the different powers and trying to kind of optimize your way. I played the shit out of this game.
So when you switched between characters, when you weren't playing as a certain one, were they playing alongside you?
Yeah.
You could just change it up. That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, like it wouldn't be like dead AI, like the AI would take over and it would allow you to kind of like surround things if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And there was a lot that they didn't play with, but they could have.
Mm.
And like some of the cool powers were you had somebody who was a reality hacker. So she would hack time and slow time. So she could be doing that while, you know, and getting into a better position to backstab or whatever the case would be. It was just a lot of fun. And,
nice.
Unfortunately, it didn't have co-op mode, which would have been, like, clearly, like, right up the alley for it. I would love to see a sequel to that game. Nick, you're number five.
Number five is the Clerks TV show, which only lasted for a mere six
episodes. Yeah.
And I think only two of them ever even made it to air.
I can see Netflix rebooting that.
They really should, because it was such a funny show, and you wouldn't need... I mean, it was animated, so the fact that these people got older wouldn't be a big deal.
And it's like, are any of those people doing anything right now?
No, I mean, I think...
Similar to Fuller House.
I think he's doing a Clerks 3, possibly, or has talked about doing a Clerks 3 sometime in the future. I would be less interested in seeing that than I would be the animated TV show, because it was just so bizarre. It had so much weird things happen, including the Korean animation sequence.
Ferris driving.
How could that be? Which we've alluded to on the show semi-recently. It was just such a funny show, and it really got kind of shafted by the network, I think. I also don't think that many people would have watched it, because it was too weird, but... It was so good.
Yeah.
I really liked that show. So, I mean, it has things that we quote to this day. Bears driving.
How can that be?
That's what Nellie and I say to each other when we ask who's driving somewhere. If you say bears driving, it means that the other person has to drive.
That's awesome.
Who's driving? Bear. Damn it. Kyle.
Yeah.
What's your number four?
My number four is a game called Metal Arms Glitch in the System. It is a third-person shooter where you play as a robot, which goes along with our reboot a little bit, because the words are similar.
Reboot robot?
But it's a really awesome third-person shooter for the PlayStation 2 and Xbox. And what I loved about this game is that it has really good shooting mechanics. But another thing that they added was that you're constantly fighting these different types of robots, some that can fly, some that are giant. And something that they added to this game was that you can like possess them and become them, and it goes into the multiplayer as well. So if you see this robot and you're like, oh, that guy's really awesome looking, you can like, if you get behind him, you can like hack into his system and actually like become him for a little bit and like use his moves and fly around as him. And you can do that in multiplayer too. So in the multiplayer matches, they just have these like skeletons of mechs just hanging around that you can sort of hack into and fight with. And it's a really awesome game that there's only been one, and it had a lot of personality and it was really well done. And, I kind of miss it. So, game's called Metal Arms Glitch in the System. Themo, would be your number four.
My number four is a TV show that I love because of how funny it is. It's called Reno 911. It got canceled a few years ago, but the ratings were still good. I don't know why it got canceled. But it's, for those who don't know, it's essentially a parody of Cops, a mockumentary style, following around this cast of characters as they go on their misadventures, trying to keep Reno safe. But it is so, if you like It's Always Sunny with that politically incorrect, these people are terrible, type of humor, like it'd be up your alley. It's available on Hulu. And there was talk a little bit ago about, I don't know if it was just like a rumor mill thing, but Netflix doing something with them. But now that they're on Hulu, I have no idea how anything lands.
Yeah.
But love that show.
Yeah, now that Netflix has brought back Full House and are bringing back Gilmore Girls and stuff, it's like,
are they
really? It's like they theoretically could bring back anything. Right. It feels like, especially if it's something like a show where the characters really aren't doing much right now.
Yeah.
Supposedly, it's like,
right.
Yeah. But
are they still doing Twin Peaks? By the way,
Showtime is.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
They've
Naomi Watts is going to be in it, apparently. That's the rumor. Those are the rumors on the internet. I mean,
probably still won't watch it.
She's the best. How could it be bad?
Yeah. I mean, it is Twin Peaks. So.
I love me some Naomi Watts.
I hate me some Twin Peaks.
Oh.
You're really? Wrong. You're wrong.
I'm not a huge fan.
Did you finish it? Or
No,
he watched like an episode.
No, I watched like 3 or 4. It was the dancing scene.
Catherine.
Oh, I love that scene.
There's I mean, fish. No. It wasn't that scene, but that was the last scene that I remember.
Oh God, how did you like stop the
pilot?
That was from the pilot.
I thought it was
Catherine. There's a fish in the percolator. I love Pete.
Josie. Back in Stowe.
Yep.
Doesn't she look almost exactly like Laura Palmer?
My arms. And Mike. Yeah. Great Nick. Show.
Nick, please move on.
My number four is, this is something
great
that I...
Great show.
This one, I think of my list as the one that's most likely to get rebooted, because I don't know what any of these people are doing. And I think I've talked about it on our show kind of recently. It's Better Off Ted, which is on Netflix, at least in America.
We talked about it with them last couple episodes.
So I'll be quick, but it's such a good show for this era where everyone's kind of like mistrustful of big corporations. It's about the evilest corporation, and all the characters in it are so funny. And I don't think any of them are doing anything like
Portia
Netflix.
Rossi
Portia de Rossi is the only one who might
be
doing
Scandal.
Something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, she should leave Scandal.
But just the same. I agree. That was a really good show.
It was hilarious. Funny. Every character was so funny.
Yeah.
God, it's good. I mean, it's one of those shows where I've watched it 5, 6, maybe 7 times all the way through.
Oh, wow.
7 times all the way through?
Probably, because it's only 2, like, short seasons.
I love the episode where there's an error on the memo and it makes swearing mandatory. Uh-huh.
Swearing is now mandatory.
Yeah.
Or wasn't there an episode about, like, the water fountains and how they wouldn't...
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't work for certain people or something.
Yeah, for black people.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was a really, really good show. If you haven't seen it, and I feel like a lot of people didn't see it.
Yeah.
If you miss out on the show, you got to find a way to check it out, because it's really funny.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's your number three?
My number three is a game that we bought a couple times. Tiny Toons Adventures.
Oh,
yes. Acme All-Stars.
That was like, yeah, no. Let's talk about the Nintendo NES.
Basically, it's kind of like it's the Super Smash Bros. Where they like mash a bunch of different genres together, but it's the Tiny Toons characters like Furball and Plucky Duck and Hampton Pig,
Buster
and Monty Max, and all of them, but they're playing sports. So they're playing basketball, they're playing soccer, they're bowling, they're doing this weird whack-a-mole game. But what was cool about that game was that it was a really pretty good sports game just at its core, but then every character had their own special move. So you would figure out, like, Monty Max would spawn in some, like, awesome, like, sports car, and he would fly across the screen, and you would learn all of their different special moves. And it was just a really fun game to play, like, with somebody or against somebody. And it had a lot of personality, and so many really awesome characters, and it was incredible.
It was very fun.
For Sega Genesis, I don't know if it was out for Super Nintendo, but it was a really good game, and I would love to see like a reboot of just classic Tiny Toons characters in a really good sports game where they all sort of have their own ups and downs and pros and cons. So, Thema, would be your number three?
My number three was going to be BioShock, just because I wanted to...
Talk about BioShock?
Well, I mean, because here's the thing is that I think Irrational Studios has dissolved.
Yeah, which is sad.
Yeah, so now it's like, is there ever going to be another BioShock game? And this should be maybe not a yearly title, but I would say every few years title, and I haven't heard anything about any new games.
Actually.
Oh.
Well, this isn't a new game, but it's a reboot of an old game, actually. System Shock, did you play that game?
I didn't, but I know that that's the spiritual predecessor to BioShock.
I think they're re-releasing it. I don't know if it's just for like PC and Steam, but I'm pretty sure I saw a trailer a couple weeks ago of like updated System Shock.
And is like it like a reskinning, or is it going to be like...
I think it's the same game, just like a new, like, yeah, reskin, updated graphics version of it. Which sounds cool. Awesome, because, I mean, if it's the same people who made BioShock, it's, like, what they first wanted to make, so.
Yeah. I hear it's, like, in the way that it was, like, 1960s, like, System Shock's more cyberpunk.
Yeah, a little more sci-fi and stuff, yeah.
Cool. Well, all right, I'm glad I took that off my list, then. Number three is going to be Goonies 2. I think that the Goonies, first off, love that movie. Speaking of Rube Goldberg machines, love that movie. I think that it would be really cool to revisit it. And
Son of the Goonies.
I would still like it to be the same people. And whoa. Just, but think about
it. It's going to be tough to get Josh Brolin now.
No, he would do it. He said in an interview. I've looked into it.
Really?
Yeah. He said he started there. He would do it. That's what he says anyhow when interviewed. but what I was going to say is that I think that what would be cool about it would be that instead of it being kids trying to save their home, you could have like different struggles within adult lives and adult world and still have capture the same heart of adventure, but for more mature reasons. And I would like to see that movie. Not make you feel like a kid again, but maybe a little bit of nostalgia and a lot more responsibility and have it be rewarding on a different level. I think that you can make a really sweet movie with that, not just try to, you know, do the same one again.
Yeah.
Your number three?
My number three is a cartoon from my childhood called Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Nice.
It was a great show. It's kind of like probably the thing that sparked my interest in like detective stories and noir films even. I think if you were to trace my roots, it would go back to this. Because most of their episodes, I mean, they were a detective team. And most of their episodes had some kind of mystery involved. They had some that were Sherlock Holmes inspired. There was a Hound of the Baskervilles based episode. Chip and Dale, I think, were a good partnership team, but they also had supporting characters like Gadget, who was the smart girl who could, you know, build stuff, and Monterey Jack.
Oh, Monterey Jack.
Zipper.
Yeah.
The Fly. It was a very good show. Blah, 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 blah. That wasn't from Rescue Rangers. That was just Chippendale. A monster. A dragon.
How old is that? That cartoon is probably older than both of us, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
yeah, they're just characters that I really liked as a kid, and I think it's something that should be brought back.
Yeah. That's something like the cartoons that we used to watch, for some reason, they always seem to be like a little less like cheesy than the cartoons that they're coming out with now, like the kid friendly cartoons that I don't know.
Yeah,
like
for these dumb kids.
I don't know. Like I feel like Chip and Dale, I think that show would age really well. And I don't know.
Go back. I was thinking about the same thing. Like, if I were to rewatch Batman the Animated Series and Gargoyles, and
I have season one of Batman the Animated Series. And it holds up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good show.
I love the art style so much.
It's very dark for a kid's show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyle, what's your number two?
My number two is a game that I've talked about a few times on the show, War of the Monsters. And then also, kind of in a tie, the game Rampage. Both very similar games. War of the Monsters is a little more of a open world version of Rampage, where you're battling, like, you're a giant gorilla or a giant alien or a giant robot, and you're throwing each other into buildings, picking up cars and trucks and throwing each other into them. But yeah, Rampage also just like a really cool old school like 2D game where you're just destroying buildings with a friend and kind of destroying the army and whatever the government throws at you. Which it would be a type of game that you don't really see very much now. Like it's if it's not a first person shooter or an RPG or a hack and slash game, like you don't see that too much now. So I think just sort of a destruction derby type game would be really
Just Cause
fun.
Might be the closest.
Just Cause.
Isn't that the one that's your points are based on how much shit you blow up?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I just played the newest Just Cause, and I guess there's some areas where you need to destroy cities.
I'm not thinking that, not Just Cause. I'm thinking of something else. I'm sorry. I forget what it was. Oh, well. Just Cause is the one that's very cinematic, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's another open world. Kind of similar to Far Cry, actually. But what would be your number two, Themo?
My number two is Half-Life. Specifically, Half-Life number... is that your number one?
No. I wanted to go to the bathroom, but I can't now.
I'm sorry. In a nutshell, for those of you in the listener sphere that are not privy, Half-Life number one changed the face of first-person shooters and video games in general. It turned it from a kind of a game-like experience into something that was very, very cinematic.
Yeah.
And then Half-Life 2 took that to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was over a decade between the two of them releasing, but they were essentially told by Gabe Newell, just make the best video game ever made. And that's when we got Half-Life 2, and my God, that is just an amazing... There are moments in that video game where when I think back, it's like I was... Like at parts, it was like I was watching one of the most epic movies of all time. Mm. Other parts, you're just so emotionally invested that you're really scared, but not scared like a jump scare horror game, survival game, but like you're scared
in
because,
the moment. Yeah.
It's just a brilliant game.
Yeah.
Just brilliant.
And I didn't play very much of the first one. I remember seeing our cousin Mike play a lot of the first one. And it had a lot of those like set pieces that happened way before anything like Call of Duty, where there's like these really epic set pieces. There were like moments where a scientist would be sucked into the something, or like something bad would happen on the other side of the glass.
Yeah.
And it would just be something that you would be walking around and you'd just see it happening. And they did that perfectly. People. Yeah, and it was just, it put you in that moment really well. And Half-Life 2 was just, that was the one that I played. And it was, the way that it ended was like, so crazy.
It came out with then Half-Life 2.
Episode
1.
1 and 2.
Episode 2. And then they didn't release Episode 3 or Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
And this is, it's actually a meme on the internet now.
I think it'll happen eventually. But something will be different. Because I just can't imagine that it won't happen. Because the amount of people that love this series and want it will make it happen eventually.
My fear is that they're gonna wait to release it on Steam's VR system only, and I'm like, it costs a grand for me to get a computer that will run that thing. Like, but anyhow,
VR, that's crazy.
Nick, you're number two.
Kyle, you're not gonna be able to pee after this one either. My number two is, when are they gonna come out with 28 Months Later?
Oh.
I almost put that on my list, but the fact that it's technically a thing on IMDb, right? Like,
I don't know.
I feel like it is.
I've been waiting fucking forever for it. They really need to do this because 28 weeks later.
Yeah.
I mean, or 28 days later. Amazing. 28 weeks later.
It was fine.
Still pretty good. It's got, yeah. It's got some great moments in it. The opening scene of that movie
is incredible.
Is fantastic.
The night vision scene is spooktacular.
Yeah. I think a 28 months later is well deserved.
Yeah.
We need to see it.
Yeah. And I'm so tired of these violent. I mean, 28 days later and 28 weeks later, they're violent, but they're not like over the top
gore fests.
Yeah, they're not slasher. Splatter porn. They're like smarter. I've said this for a while.
Think
they're 28
days later
movies.
Is PG-13.
No.
Is it?
No.
I don't know.
You can't kill a guy with your thumbs.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw it with a.
I remember before I saw it, Tim Katanik was saying that it was the scariest movie he had ever seen.
I was in high school when I saw it, and I remember seeing it with a bunch of girls who were way too young to have been let into a rated R movie.
No, I saw it in high school too.
Yeah, so I don't.
It has to be R though. It has to be.
I mean, we'll see, but I don't know. I've always just kind of seen it as this horror movie that has a little bit of, it has way more substance than
a mere
most.
Sneeze.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And with characters that you actually care about that don't have giant boobs or something. I'm tired of these.
You're right. I didn't say it wasn't a perfect movie, but
yeah. Despite not having giant boobs, it was still pretty good. But 28 months later,
it is rated R.
Nice. You guys just saw it illegally, both of you.
Yeah, we just snuck in.
I might have been a senior, actually. I might have been
legit
from. From Ex Machina writer Alex Garland. It was writ rather Ex Machina writer and director Alex Garland wrote 28 Days Later. Yep. Kyle, what's your number one?
My number one is a game that would keep you from going pee, Nick. Comic Zone.
Oh, Comic Zone.
Starring Sketch Turner, a aspiring comic book artist who gets sucked into his own comic and needs to fight his own
creations.
Well, no. Not his own creations, because he gets sucked into his own comic and his villain that he draws up comes out of the comic and is writing, drawing the villains into the scene. You kick these villains through comic book panels. You have different power-ups from bombs to your rat. I forget what your rat's name is. There's branching paths or different panels you can jump. You can either go left or down, and there are different paths you can take. It is an incredible game.
Is it the SNES?
We played it on Sega Genesis.
The rat's name was Roadkill.
No, was it? Did you just look it up?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Man. It's on Sega Genesis. It might be on SNES. I wouldn't be surprised.
Most things that were on Sega were on SNES.
Yeah. It had a really good soundtrack. It was one of these...
Oh, egg on my face. Originally released as a Sega Genesis exclusive.
Oh.
Exclusive.
Snap. But it's one of those games. It was a 2D fighter engine type. When you fought people, it was a side-scrolling fighter. But it was so satisfying, because anytime you kick them, a little piece of paper would come off of them. Yeah. It was so well done. And if you hit down too many times,
you would fart.
You would fart. Your character would do this. But if you hit it a lot of times in a row, he'd be it. And just fart. It was awesome. Comic Zone is an incredible game. I think there's only been one. And they need to remake it. Because I said so.
It's a deep cut.
Super deep cut. Sega Genesis all the way. Themo, what would be your number one?
I would like to pitch my idea for a reboot of Drag Me to Hell.
Nice.
So, she goes to hell. Her fiancé, grief-stricken, travels the world trying to find artifacts and things to get her back. Finally, he comes across a building for a man that can help her. That's right, he comes across an S-Mart. He goes into the S-Mart. Who does he see? Ash from Evil Dead. He hires Ash to join him as they plunge into hell to rescue his girl. They go to hell, and I won't spoil everything, but suffice to say, there's a massive battle with multiple Kandarian demons through the nine circles of hell. They get out, but what happens? Of course, she's been in hell. Her skin's all burnt up. What are they going to do? Because the Kandarian demons are coming. This is just prior to the third act. Who's at the window of the hospital room? Oh shit, it's Darkman. Another Sam Raimi creation. Gives her skin.
No Spider-Man?
Well, I didn't want to ruin the after credits sequence.
God damn it.
But that's my...
I was going to say, is he going to be holding Captain America's shield?
No. Although I like the Steve Ditko, like the big black...
Yeah, the blinky eyes.
Yeah. I'm all for it. But that's my... That's my... I actually wrote out the entirety of the plot outline.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like, for who? For no one. But for, you know...
For you.
Did you see the fan fiction that I posted on the Rocks?
No.
Have you...
The
Andy Weir? Yeah, the author of The Martian wrote fan fiction for Ready Player One. And apparently now it's canon. Like
The Martian?
Yeah.
As in the one that was made into a movie that I literally just finished reading this book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he wrote like a couple pages of like a fan fiction for Ready Player One, and now it's recognized
Ernie
as like
Klein
canon.
Said, oh, yeah. That is awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah.
I wrote fan fiction for Clive Barker's Jericho, actually. Nice. If you go to fanfiction.net or whatever.
.themo.
You can find it. Anyhow, but that is, I need to find that now. Nick, your number one.
My number one is, I want a revival of two men who've been busy with other things, but they both started off as stand-up comics and have come out with probably my two favorite stand-up comedy albums. Woody Allen and Steve Martin were both amazing stand-up comics. And...
So those are my two favorite stand-up
comics. They need to do more of it. I mean, Let's Get Small.
You want stand-up or you want a story?
I want stand-up from them. Mm. Let's Get Small, the bit about...
The vacuum cleaner?
How he likes to get small. One time I got really small. And how he got sucked into a vacuum cleaner.
Cop pulled me over. Hey, are you small?
Are you small? No, man.
I'm tall.
And the Woody Allen stand-up has just some of the best bits about how he shot a moose,
and the moose
came alive.
Took him to
a costume party.
Yeah, the Rosenbergs costume party. Moose mingled, did very well.
Scored. The moose came in third.
Lost to a couple dressed as a moose.
Antlers. The moose was furious.
Oh, he's so good.
It's great. And, I mean, both of them have obviously done some great stuff since then. But really, other than Annie Hall, my favorite part of both of their careers was their stand-up albums.
Yeah, I love...
But they both completely quit. Like, most other people who did other stuff with their careers would... You know, I mean, Robin Williams started off as stand-up, did some acting.
Like to see, but he
and went back and went back and forth, and he came out with that Broadway album that was like a huge hit. I would love to see one of those two do stand-up again. Yeah. It would be such a hit. It would be hugely successful if they did it, as much as like a stand-up album can be.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Martin did some plays that I just love. Mm-hmm. He does like these surreal plays.
Yeah, and both of them have actually... written plays.
Yeah, they're both brainy. They're both
very smart guys. I've actually read Steve Martin's autobiography. Is really good.
What is that one?
It's called Born Standing Up.
I have a lot
about kind of his history as training to be a stand-up comic, basically. They're both very smart guys. I would love to see them get back on the stage.
That's an excellent pick, man.
Yeah, is Steve Martin really done? I know that Woody Allen's written and directed a few things, but
he does about a movie a year.
Yeah, but Steve Martin,
he's like...
Kind of fell off a little bit.
Well, he's done stuff. He's branched into different things. Like one of his main things is his banjo career.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. He goes on tour, and he... Yeah.
We should do a documentary about him. Let's follow him.
I would love to. Of the people who I would like geek out, famous people who I would geek out if I
met. Saw them, yeah.
He's one of the tops. Like
if I've had the reaction I've had meeting the minor celebrities that I've had, if I met Steve Martin,
you just break down.
I would shit out my skull.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I would just break. I would just
every orifice. Just
yeah. I mean, like
yeah.
Martin Scorsese would probably be tops where I'd just like lose my mind.
Yeah.
But Steve Martin would be very strongly up there for me.
Yeah.
I don't know who like Paul McCartney would probably be the one that I would my head would implode if I had to meet.
You had to meet him. You were forced to meet him.
Yeah, I don't want to meet my celebrities anymore. Yeah. I don't want to meet my idols.
You see that Alton Brown's coming out with a new science food thing.
No.
A new show.
I'd like to see it. I swear to God, if he tells me how a meringue or a foam works again, though, I'm going to lose my mind.
I feel like I would lose my mind if I met Alton Brown.
I saw him live.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was very good. Very good to see live. Kyle, what recommendations do you have for us this week?
I'm really excited about a show / concert that's coming out in May of this year, which is kind of different because I don't really see a lot of bands in live. But Onomatoguchi is coming to Akron.
Really?
Where are they playing May, in Akron? Musica in May. So I'm like already poking Lisa and I'm like, early birthday present maybe? But yeah, it's they're in. I mean, I've talked about them on the show before. I think I talked about them on my favorite soundtracks list, and they did the soundtrack to Scott Pilgrim, and they're just an incredible chiptune band.
Oh, how cool!
And they play. They're just that kind of band that just they seem like they have a lot of fun when they play. They have the whole list of places they're playing, like in Austin, Texas, and Detroit, and I'm like, Akron's on that list, and it's like really weird to see Akron on that list, but hopefully, yeah, I'll see them in a few months. It'll be cool.
That's awesome.
What about you, Themo?
Yeah. Recommendations from old Themo.
Nick, do you have any recommendations?
No, but it was on last week's episode.
I'm reading The Shawshank Redemption, like the actual novella.
Awesome.
And it is, I've never seen the movie.
What?
I wasn't here for the...
Regrets
one.
Oh, we need to revisit that episode.
Yeah, because I wasn't on that episode either.
So that or Schindler's List.
Yeah. So or, really, I mean,
so the mid-90s was just like
Citizen Kane.
You've never seen Citizen Kane?
Oh, wow.
That was on Sir's list. Yeah. Citizen Kane is...
That's a damn near perfect movie. That's a perfect movie.
One of my favorite edits in any film is the cockatoo.
I don't remember the cockatoo.
It's after like a very long talkie scene, and he just cuts to a different scene where it just cuts to a bird going, "Ow!" And it's so bizarre and jarring.
My stupid wife was...
Yeah.
A really shitty on stage. Yeah. That was
Man,
so good.
That's such a
You know what it
movie.
Is? It's the grandfather of There Will Be Blood. That's why I said
it. Really is. It's so good. Apparently,
it'll be as strong as Darth Vader.
We talked about this a little bit on last week's show, but the Tribeca Film Festival, led by Robert De Niro, they actually reversed their decision and are pulling Vaxxed from their lineup.
You know, now what this is? This is Big Pharma got on top of Robert De Niro. And
yeah, Big Logic. Big evidence-based medicine got on top of Robert De Niro.
God.
So, you've been reading Shawshank. I tried reading that. My mom gave me a copy of that when I was like 10.
Oh, I might have been a little young because there's a lot of talk about rape in that.
There's a lot of rape in that book. I mean, there's not a lot of rape in that book.
But it's for a 10-year-old.
But there's enough rape in that book, I would say.
Yeah. So I just got done reading the Tommyknockers, which was his like big sci-fi endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I'm obsessed with his...
Tommyknockers?
Yeah.
My, what big Tommyknockers you have. Well, thank you, Doctor.
Anyway,
oh jeez, yeah,
awful.
All right,
I'm sorry.
I don't remember that line, but
it's from Young Frankenstein.
Oh, was it? No.
Not the timer knocker.
I've done some reading lately as well. I finally finished
Ready Player One.
Is that German?
Ready Player One.
Yeah, I made him read Ready Player One.
Oh, did
yeah.
you really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
It was real slow for me to start, but I ended up getting real into it. And the first 70 pages, it took me a while to get into that world. But once I got in there, once the threat outside the world, outside the Oasis kind of comes in, I dove in. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the big turning point when it goes from X to, or 0 to 100.
Yeah, yeah. So the movie is, it's starring Ty Sheridan, who is the main character in the movie Mud. You may know him from the movie Joe, which I didn't see. But he's also the youngest son in Tree of Life. He's going to play...
which is a masterpiece, apparently.
It is. He's going to play Wade. The girl from What's It Called That I Didn't See is playing Artemis.
Earl and the Dead Girl. She was good in that. Mm-hmm. She's fine.
I worry, though, that... I know it's Spielberg. There's a lot of ways that this movie can go horribly awry.
Curious as to how the references will go.
There's a lot of ways that this movie will be pixels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem with it is here's the risk they run. If they lose sight of the fact that at the end of the day this has to be his hero's journey, if they lose that for special effects, for cramming in nostalgia, for cramming in references, the movie will fall, because at the heart of this thing, it has to be about his hero's journey.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm curious as to how they'll handle some of the dungeons, because they're all just they are references.
One of the planets is just the Death Star.
Or the robots that they get into, or
hundreds and hundreds of.
It's crazy.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, it is Spielberg, so.
I mean, it would just be have to be so much money poured into that thing to get the rights to.
Which is, I feel like...
It is Spielberg.
Right. Spielberg is directing it, so what was the last thing was it War Horse the last thing he directed?
No, he did Bridge of Spies, which was nominated for Best Picture. He did Lincoln, which was nominated for Best Picture.
I didn't know he did Lincoln. I also didn't know he did Lincoln.
Really?
Yeah.
Lincoln's pretty good.
I've been wanting to see it, because I didn't know he did Bridge of Spies.
He's doing the BFG this next year.
Oh, yeah. That looks really good. That's, what is it, Roald Dahl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that trailer is terrifying.
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
I think the most terrifying thing about it is that it's not a cartoony giant.
It's dark.
It's a giant giant.
It's a giant hand grabbing this person from their house.
From their bed.
But he's friendly, you guys.
And he's big, though. Giant. Doesn't mean he won't crush you like Lenny.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna
Lenny that kid.
I would love to see the Lennying of the BFG.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Big friendly dumb giant.
Yeah. Demo.
Yeah.
Thanks for recommending Pee Wee's Big Holiday.
Oh, thank you guys for.
Thanks for making me watch that movie.
It was great. Kyle doesn't like anything. He doesn't like Twin Peaks.
I love that. It was worth it for the balloon scene. Come on.
Yeah, the balloon.
The look on his face when he starts to get like. He almost looks disgusted at one point. He's disgusted at the crowd.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really good. If you've watched Pee-wee's Big Holiday and want to let us know your opinions on it, Thema, where would they do so?
You can go to, I would go to our Facebook page, .com/onthetropes.
That's a good place to do it.
Leaving us a message and a 5-star review on iTunes. And if you like the show, please do that, because that gives us feedback to keep doing it. And it also helps us reach more people.
Yeah, it does.
So
that's all we want in life.
Yeah.
We're not asking for donations. We don't have a plus club.
What's a plus club?
Some podcasts I listen to, they're like, you could join the so-and-so plus club for $9 a month and get access to all of our back catalog.
Oh, we don't want any of that shit.
No.
Or they dare say, you get early access to certain things, which people will eventually be able to hear, you'll be able to hear it 2 days earlier or something.
Look, we don't want your money. We're not...
Yeah.
We're not trying to scam you out of your, out of buku bucks.
No.
Just give us some stars for...
Blade Runner would be a great reboot.
They are rebooting it.
Are they?
You didn't know that? Are you being? Are
I'm
you
not
making?
Being facetious.
I can't. Which one of you is being serious?
No, they aren't. It's Denis Villeneuve, the guy who did Sicario and Prisoners and Enemy, is rebooting it.
Why?
I don't know. I think so. Apparently, Harrison Ford said it's the best script he's ever read.
Well, he's not going to be in it, is he?
I think he is.
How?
he's old. He's not dead.
Yeah,
he's,
but he is. He's super old.
I want to see. What about Indy 5? Are we going to do that? If he's going to be doing Blade Runner,
I'm far more excited for Blade Runner 2 than I am for Indy 5.
If he said it's the best film script he's ever read, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
What does a reboot mean? Like,
they're bringing it back.
I mean, but is it Blade?
It's
is
not,
it
not like a restart?
Blade Run.
Actually,
yeah.
Reboot usually does mean re. Like,
yeah.
Restarting.
So is it like is it like Old Boy?
No, it's going to be like Blade Runner 2, I think.
That will be more interesting than.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, because I don't want Let the Right One In.
Oh,
Blade
no.
Runner style.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That's cool.
Which has the best script he's ever raised this time, but the first one.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, this is actually just the same.
Why?
We changed the date on it.
Yeah.
You can also check us out on tvtropes.org.
Yes, tvtropes.org.
onthetropes@gmail.com.
Yes. And Twitter @onthetropes. As always, I've been your host, Nick, and we have been...
Demo.
And Kyle.
And join us again next week when we'll be stuck...
On the tropes.
Jerry!
So I don't even know what who is Jerry? I don't know.
Jerry.
Who's Jerry?
It's Cherry.
Cherry? It's Cherry?
Cherry.
Cherry!
It's a chair.
He does.
Oh, it's Cherry?
Yeah.
It's just... Oh, man. Mind blown.
Jeez Louise.
I say Jerry.
Are we still recording? Is this all making it into the episode?
Yep.
Oh, that's embarrassing for you.
Yep. Good thing it won't make it in the episode. Thanks, Nick.
Goodbye! Thank you.